Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Come on, give God some thanks for that. How wonderful is that story? Honestly. Good morning, everybody. 8 o'clock, are you all alive? All kicking? How wonderful is that story? Hope it encourages somebody here today. Freddie and Corey's story, man alive. You never know what God will do at an encounter evening. You never know. Speaking of encounter, I think it's next Sunday, 5 o'clock. If you've never been to encounter before, you have no idea what God can do in those moments. So I heard them mention it in the story, and I thought, you know, God always moves powerfully in those special times, those special moments where we put ourselves at his feet and say, God, we want to encounter you. And such an encouraging story. And we're celebrating, there's so much going on in the life of our church. We're celebrating Shine and the Adopt a Child campaign that's going on across both campuses. And of course, they're wanting to purchase a new literacy container because the number of kids that they're impacting through the literacy program has jumped from 50 in year one to 80 in year two to 130 this year. Isn't that awesome? That's why they're running 6 kilometers every 4 hours for 48 kilometers. Let me say that again. 6 Ks every 4 hours for 48 hours, and they're starting this coming Friday, the Shine team. That means in those 4 hours, you've got to run your 6Ks, eat, try and sleep a bit, rest your legs, and get ready for the next relay. And truth be told, the Shine team, they are skrikking proper. So, hey church, would you stand to your feet? Come and let's commit this time to God. Who here is here ready to receive the word and to have the Holy Spirit do something in their heart? Whose heart here is ready for God to touch it through his word? I loved what Deb said today. I loved what she said because it's scripture and prayer. In fact, Eugene Peterson, the well-known pastor and author, he calls it one thing. When he writes, he calls it scripture prayer. It's one word. There's no break between the two because there's this ongoing dialogue that we have in our lives where God's speaking to us through scripture and we are speaking to him through prayer. So come, let's take a moment today to just ask God to do that in our lives today. That I pray that as the word is preached, that you'd be talking to him all the time. And as we celebrate all that's going on in our church, and as we celebrate the fact that people like Freddie and Corey can make a difference in a child's life, Shine can make a difference in a child's life, God's placed you on this earth for a reason, for a purpose, to do something in your Monday to Saturdays, to change the lives that you encounter. And today we're going to learn a profound way that Jesus changed his world around us. We're going to learn to follow him in that. So Father, in these moments, have your will with us, have your way in us, and may your kingdom come. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thanks, everybody. Please have a seat. I had many dodgy student jobs. If you had a terrible student job, give me a quick wave. I'm talking paper rounds in the morning at 4:35 a.m. I'm talking packing bags at the spa. I'm talking at the trout farm, and this is what I want to talk to us about today. When I was in grade 11 and grade 12, I worked at a trout farm. A friend of mine had his dad at a house or a plot down in the Rhinefeld agricultural areas. And what he decided to do is like a bit of a side hustle. He was an SAA pilot, but in order to make some extra money, he decided to build 2 trout farms on his property. His property was big enough to do that. And he stocked the trout farms with trout. And then he opened this up as a commercial venture. And he was looking for people to run the trout farm and to manage it for him. And my friend said to me at school, look, my dad's looking for somebody. I was fed up with my paper rounds. I was fed up with getting up so early every day and getting up on the weekends to take the spa, the Sunday Times and the Star newspaper. So it was like a 7-day-a-week job. I thought, the trout farm sounds like a great option. So I went for the interview. He goes, yeah, you can have the job. It's managing the trout farm. I said, oh, well, what does that involve? He says, well, mainly what you're going to be doing is helping the little kids fish. So as they arrive, you're going to help set up their fishing rods. Now, if you know me and you know how impractical I am with my hands, we're going to talk about hands today, the thought of getting a kid fixed up with their fishing rod sent cold shivers down my spine. but I persevered. I learned how to do it. He says the second part of the job is that when they catch the trout, you're going to help them with this thing. You're going to grip this wriggling, slippery. I mean, I don't know why trouts exist. They're terrible things. But you're going to take it, and while it's still alive, what you're going to do is you are going to be the trout executioner. You are going to execute the trout. And he proceeded to show me a stick, which he called the priest. And it was a big stick with a knobkitty on the end. And as the kids would bring the trout, they would hand it to me, and I would hold it in my hand and then whack it over the head and kill it. He says the third part of managing the trout farm is you're going to learn to gut the trout, and you're going to gut the trout for the kids and put it in the fridge until they're finished fishing and then take it home with them. So I then learned how to gut the trout. I can still gut a trout in under 30 seconds. It's like second nature to me right now. After week one of this job, it was fun to be out in the sun and do all the things. I figured there's a big problem because I got the job at the trout farm and a girlfriend at about the same time. But if you've worked with trout for the whole day, how many of you know that your hands smell, you know what I'm going to say, smell like trout? Not only for Saturday night, which is date night, your hands smell like trout for Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. And by Thursday, they start to smell normal, only for you to go back to the trout farm on Saturday. And this poor girl put up with trout hands for a year and a half. There's nothing you can do to get rid of the smell of trout once you've worked with them the way I had. My hands were permanently stained with the smell of trout. I finally got rid of it about a year ago or so. Kidding. Our hands are exceedingly important. I found that out as dating. She's like, why do your hands smell like that? Our hands are exceedingly important. This is what we're going to talk about today. Someone once said that our hands, eyes may be the window to the soul, but the hands are what reveal our character. So, for example, when an artist paints, what are they doing? They are finding expression in their soul through their hands. The same can be said of a warrior who reaches for a weapon, or a thief when he reaches for our possessions. Their hands, our hands, reveal what's going on in our souls and in our hearts and in our minds. Hands are complex, aren't they, church? Did you know that our hands consist of 29 bones, 29 joints, 30 arteries, 34 muscles, 48 nerves, and at least 123 ligaments? That's staggering, isn't it? God thinks hands are important as well. Did you know that the word hand appears 1,466 times in the Bible? And while hands can be intricate, they're also remarkably useful. The same hands that can wield a heavy 10-pound hammer are the same hands that can thread a needle. The same hands that knead dough are the same hands that can perform transplants. The same hands that can build a model of a high-rise building, a skyscraper, are the same hands that can actually put the bricks and the glass in that skyscraper. Hands are amazing. They're capable of acts of great love, and they're capable of acts of great force. They can be used to deliver a violent blow, or they can be used to give the most gentle caress. Hands can be used for the earthiest, dodgiest, dirtiest tasks, like changing a nappy, or they can be used for the most sacred tasks, like receiving the bread and the cup during communion. We know the saying, you know it like the back of your hand. But how well do you know your hands really? Now, don't look at your hands, okay? Don't look at them right now. We're going to look at them just now. But just for a moment with me today, just without looking, can you picture your hands? Can you picture your freckles? Can you picture your knuckles? Can you picture that one dodgy skew finger that kind of goes a little bit, like it's got a knock in it? Do you know which joints are swollen? Now, quickly, where you are, take a look at your hands. Just where you are, have a look at your hands. Have a look at your hands. Take a close look at your hands. Look at them. Did you look at the back of your hands or did you look at your palms? What did you see when you looked at your hands? Now, have a look up at me. Think about all the things that you have held with your hands. Think of the people you've touched with your hands. Do you remember your grandparents, or perhaps some of you are grandparents yourself? Do you remember your grandchildren as you've held their hands? Maybe you crossed the street with a friend when you were young and held hands. Maybe you walked on the beach hand in hand with somebody you loved. Do you remember the first time you held the hand of the person you loved and the electricity that flowed through your hands in first love? If you're single right now and you're looking for that, the welcome center on the deck, head there straight afterwards. We just want to help get you set up. Some of you look really, really good this morning. I asked a couple of you, are you going for dates after this? What's going on? Think about the emotion. Think about the love. Think about the friendship. Think about the comfort that your hands have conveyed to people throughout the years. Some of us here would find it hard to speak without our hands, especially the Italian and the Portuguese and the Lebanese. We have to talk with our hands. You're talking about food, you talk about hands, right? You talk about love, you speak with your hands. Some of us struggle to speak without our hands, don't we? Here's the thing. I'm going somewhere with this thing of our hands today. There's something remarkable about our hands. Everything that we do with our hands, all of the things that I've mentioned earlier, we either do through opening or closing our hands. So, if our hands reveal our character, they do so through our opening and through our closing. Closing our hands is instinctive behavior. Think about a baby. Think about how natural it is for a baby to close their hands. When they're throwing a tantrum, what do? Close their hands. When they grab onto a rattle, close their hands. When you put your finger in their hand, they close their hands. What does that teach us? It tells us that our natural reaction in life is to live with closed hands. When it comes to our hands, church, we are natural closers. Even right now, if I had to ask you, have a quick look. Your fingers are probably curled in some way. They're either holding something, or you're all checking out your hands now. You're going, how did he know that? How did he know that? There was an elderly woman who was brought to a psychiatric center one day. And she was lashing out, swinging at everything and everyone. The hospital staff took her in and they did their best to constrain her, and they had to take everything they could away from her because she was swinging out and lashing out and wanting to take out everything and anyone around her. And as they constrained her and as they took anything that was within reach of her, they moved it away from her, they noticed in her one hand she had held a tightly held fist, and they eventually managed to pry this fist open. They wanted to see what was in her hand, and she had a small little coin in her hand. And come what may, and try as hard as they could not get this coin out of her hand. Her fear was, they later found out, that her entire identity would be lost if she released that coin. And so we hold our hands closed sometimes because there's so much wrapped up in our hands. We're afraid we'll lose our coins, aren't we, church? We lived with closed hands sometimes because we're trying to hold on to our coins. And as we begin to let go of our coins, figuratively, our guilt, our shame, our inadequacy, our insecurity, our anger, our fear, we open our hands to receive what God wants to give us. And living with open hands is not natural. It's not instinctive. It's got to be taught. It's got to be trained. We're in a series called A Better Way to Live. Today, hands open is a better way to live. Because what you'll notice and what we'll notice together as we read the scripture in a moment is that our physical posture determines our spiritual posture. There's this remarkable account in scripture of where Jesus encounters both a physical closed hand and a spiritual closed hand. Let me show it to you today. Mark chapter 3, let's read the text. It says this, again, he entered the synagogue, this is Jesus, and a man was there with a withered hand. As they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, come here. And he said to them, is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill? But they were silent, and he looked around them with anger, grieved at the hardness of heart. And then he said to the man, watch this, stretch out your hand. He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. The Pharisees went out immediately and held counsel with the Herodians against him as to how to destroy him. Jesus here encounters a man with a physical closed hand, a withered hand. The reason we know it was closed is because Jesus says, stretch out your hand. And as he did so, it was healed. But there's something deeper happening here. There are two closed hands in the story. The first is the man's physical closed hand. The second is the closed hands spiritually of the Pharisees. You see, Jesus was living like God's people had been instructed to live. He was living open-handed with his power. He was living open-handed with his heart. He was living open-handed with his time. He was living open-handed with his resource. God's people had always been instructed to live with their hands open. If you come with me to Deuteronomy chapter 15, it says, if there is anyone among you in need, a member of your community, in any of your towns within the land that the Lord your God is giving, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards your needy neighbor. You should rather do what? You should rather open your hand, willingly lending enough to meet the need, whatever it may be. Here's the thing, church. A better way to live, hands open. Why? Because our physical affects our spiritual. Our physical posture determines our spiritual posture. When we live open-handed, here's the thought. I pray that this will land in your spirit today. When we live open-handed, we live kingdom-minded. When you live open-handed, that's when you live kingdom. In other words, our hands and our minds are connected. Our hands and our hearts are connected. Our hands and our spirits are connected. The Pharisees stood there like this. How many of you stand with your hands folded with open hands? You don't. You put your hands in fists, and they stood there with arms folded. But the arms weren't only folded physically. The arms were folded spiritually. There are three biblical postures of open-handedness that I want to offer to us today, which I think is a better way to live. Three ways and three types of open-handedness that we see in Scripture, which God teaches us and Jesus teaches us and Jesus models for us as to how to live with open hands. But it's as you'll see, it's much more than simply your hand being physically open. It's about your heart being open. Are you with me today? All tracking with me? The first way is to have open hands or hands open in praise. Everybody, would you mind doing this with me? Just this kind of vibe. Open hands in praise. Check out the scripture. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and praise the Lord. People go, why do we have our hands raised in worship? That's why. Can I push the buttons a little bit? Just ask for forgiveness first. You all okay? Are you sure? The banks are good. I'm worried about the middle guys. Online. It's not biblical to praise like this. And he said to me, who are you to tell me how I should worship? Well, I'm not. I'm just telling you the scripture does. Are you with me? So lift up your hands in the sanctuary. So where are we at the moment? What are we going to do? Lift up our hands. Well, lift. And when you lift up your hands, I mean, you're not doing this vibe because you're not at a Liverpool game. You never walk alone. Have your hands. Are you with me? So the first way we live with open hands is in praise. Are you with me? No, maybe like this. Or like this. It's no matter how you lift your hands, even if you want to. You know, but the point is, it's biblical to lift your hands and to have open hands in praise. Look at Psalm 143, verse 6. It says, I stretch out my hands to you. My soul longs for you. Why does David stretch out his hands? Because he's wanting to get intimate with God. He's wanting to get closer to him. It's almost impossible to show intimacy with somebody if you're like this. I mean, if my kids approach me, what do? I stretch out my hands towards them. Why do we think differently with God? Well, our physical posture determines our spiritual posture. It impacts our spiritual posture. And so when we praise like this. Are you all okay? Notice that Moses lifted his hands and the Israelites won the battle against the Amalekites. And when he dropped them, the Israelites started losing. Something about lifted hands that denotes victory. It denotes strength. It denotes vitality. Are you with me? Second way that we live with open hands, not only is in praise or hands open in praise. Second way we live with open hands that we see in scripture is in surrender. 1 Peter 5, verse 7, one of my favorite scriptures. In fact, the first scripture I ever memorized because it was on the back of my friend's toilet door when I was in grade 4 and 5. I'll never forget it. It had a picture of a kitten with like a ball of wool. It's like one of these kind of vibes, right? And 1 Peter 5, verse 7, cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Casting does what? If you cast, what are you doing? If you cast something, what are you doing? You are spreading your hands. You are opening yourself. If you cast something, you are opening your hands and releasing is the point. There's a reason why that word is chosen. It's to release. It's to surrender. What do we surrender? Daily we surrender our worry, hey? We surrender our anxiety. We surrender our futures. We surrender our children. We surrender their futures. We surrender our resource, our money. We surrender our time. We surrender our gifting. We surrender what God's given us. It's interesting, King David, when he was taking... Well, when he was about to battle Goliath, you know what he did? He put down Saul's sword so he could pick up 5 stones. He surrendered one so he could pick up something else. Don't be discouraged if God calls you to surrender something because there's something more effective for your life he wants you to pick up. Are you with me today? Are you with me? What do you need to surrender? What do you need to live open-handed with? What's the coin in your hand, like that lady at the sanitarium who couldn't surrender her coin because it symbolized her life. It symbolized the thing that she held most valuable. What's the coin in your hand to surrender? Remember, better way to live, open hands. We live with open hands in praise. We live with open hands when we cast it before Him, when we surrender it to Him, when we give it to Him. Third way we live with open hands is in generosity. Deuteronomy 15:7. Let's just read it again. If anyone is poor among your fellow Israelites in any of the towns of the land your Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted towards him. That's why New Trigo Pax. So awesome. Because I can have an open hand. Are you with me? Rather be open-handed. Everybody say open-handed. And freely lend whatever they need. As Jesus changes our hearts, so our hands open. It is the undeniable characteristic of an increasingly devoted follower of Jesus that they live with their hands more open. That's why the most devoted Christ followers are always saying, what can they give to the people around them? Our church is so generous. People are always, people are buying Nutrigo packs. People are sponsoring a child. People are giving sacrificially and generously and hugely towards our vision offering. People put their income and they say, God, I'm going to give you the first 10%. This is what Christ followers do. They go, God, where do you want my time? What can I give in generosity? How can I live like this with the world around me as opposed to like this? There are three repeating patterns in Scripture of open hands. It's praise, when we live a lifestyle of worship, when we reach for Him. Not only in church, but you can be on your knees in your bedroom with your hands up, right? You can be on your knees in your bedroom with your hands in surrender. We have hands open in praise. We have hands open in surrender. And we have hands open in generosity. Look at your hands again, would you, with me, just for a moment? And perhaps previously you looked at the back of your hand. Well, go back to the back of your hand and think with me now for a moment about all that God might want to do through your open hands. I want to suggest to you today that your hands can bring Him glory when you praise. I want to suggest to you that your hands can bring great liberty and liberation to your soul when you surrender. Okay, keep looking at your hands. I'm saying to you, they can bring glory to God when you praise. I'm saying they can bring liberty to your soul when you surrender. I'm saying they can bring freedom to the world around you when they've got open hands and generosity. Your hands are powerful, church. Our hands are powerful. God can do amazing things through your hands, and it's not just because they're your hands. Obviously, it's because your hands indicate the state of your soul. And so when we live with open hands, really what we're saying is it's really our hearts that are open, isn't it? It's our spirits that are open. I believe there is an overarching why as to why God designed us to live like this, everybody. Friends, I think it's because God knew that when you live with closed hands, you can't reach as far and you can't receive as much. Have a look at the picture on the screen. There'll be somebody trying to grab hold of somebody on a building. How many of you know that guy who's desperate to hang on, he is not reaching for his friend at the top of the building with his fist? Are you with me? What are you going to do if you're desperate? What are you going to do if every inch counts? What are you going to do if you want to reach far? You're going to stretch out your hand. I think God's calling us to live with open hands because he wants your reach further. He wants my reach further. He wants us to reach further for him. He wants us to reach further into our world. He wants us to reach for the people that we love. He wants us to reach into the places and the spaces that you and I are called to touch and to change. He's called us to reach further. I also think he calls us to live with open hands because we can receive more. When your hands are closed and my hands are closed, nobody can get anything into them. Let's look at your hands again. And open them up. And ask yourself this question. God, what do you want to put in my hand? What do you want to put in my hand? What do you want to give me that I've been too tight-fisted to receive? Perhaps it's a lifting of anxiety that's been plaguing you. Perhaps it's a resource that he's been waiting to get to you. As soon as he knows you want to live open-handed, he'll get it to you so he can get it through you. Perhaps it's a release and a forgiveness that he wants to give you the grace to be able to live in forgiveness. Perhaps it's a new relationship. Perhaps it's the husband and wife you've been praying for. Again, the welcome center at the deck. Are you with me today? There's a Holocaust survivor who went on to write and speak and do amazing things. A lady called Corrie ten Boom. She was a Dutch survivor of the Holocaust. She tells the story in 1947. She was speaking at a church. And as she was speaking at this church, listen to what goes on here. She was talking about forgiveness. And she makes the statement that how's this wording? She says, when God forgives you, all your sins lie at the bottom of the ocean. After the service, a man walks up to her and instantly she recognizes him. He was one of the cruelest guards at Ravensbrück, which was the camp that she was at. The moment she sees him, she realizes this man was one of her torturers. He was the one who would stand at the entrances to the showers as they had to strip themselves naked and go and shower, and he would mock each and every female person as they would come past him. He comes up to her. And he says to her, Fräulein, how good it is that you say our sins are at the bottom of the ocean. And he says, you mentioned Ravensbrück in your talk. I was a guard there. I did terrible things there. But since that time, I've made a decision to follow Christ. I know that God has forgiven me for the cruel things that I did, but I would like to hear it from your lips as well. Fräulein, he says, and he holds out his hand. He stretched out his hand and he said, will you forgive me? And in that moment, she had a decision to make, how to live. Would she hold her hand closed? And like the Pharisees, live like this towards her tormentor and her capturer? Or would she stretch out her hand and in so doing, experience the healing of Christ? She stood there paralyzed for 10 seconds and eventually stretched out her hand. And as she clasped the hand of the man that had mocked her and tortured her for years, she says she experienced the power of the love of God like never before. a better way to live. Hands open. Hands open in praise. Hands open in surrender. Or maybe like this. And hands open to the world around us. Take one last look at your hands and think for a moment. I pray you never forget this sermon, because every time you see your hands, you're going to ask yourself, God, what do you want to do in my hands, through my hands? How are my hands going to be a blessing to you, God, through praise? How are your hands going to be a blessing to me through surrender? Lord, how are my hands going to be a blessing to the world around us through generosity? Shall we take a moment? Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for the blessing of our hands. Thank you that we can use them to bless other people. Thank you that we can live open-handed. Friends, Jesus died with his hands open. Not only his arms open, his hands open. Why were his hands open? They were open to you. This morning, it will be my privilege to invite you into a friendship with Jesus. No matter where you are in the auditorium, no matter where you have come from, no matter what's happened in your life, good or bad, Jesus died for you, for me, with his hands open, showing us that his arms and his hands are open to you. Perhaps today you've always thought God had his arms somewhat closed to you. Perhaps you had a picture of God as an angry God with a fist just waiting to punish you. Today I want to give you the good news. That's why the gospel is called good news. It's good news because Jesus' hands are open towards you and towards me. And so if the Holy Spirit is working in you right now and you want to make a decision to follow Jesus, it would be my privilege to pray for you. I'm going to ask you in just a moment, hey, just slip up your hand nice and high when I get to a count of three, okay? I'm going to do a quick count to three in just a moment. That's so everybody knows this is my time. This is my moment. I'm going to see your hand. I'm going to thank you for it. I'm not going to call you up. I'm not going to do anything weird. I'm just going to acknowledge that God's doing something in your life. And you're lifting your hand. You are using your hand to indicate your spiritual posture. Your physical hand is indicating what God is doing in you and in your life. And so it'd be my privilege to pray for you. If you want to make a decision to follow Jesus with your life today, ready on the count of three. Here we are. One, two, three. Hands up across this place if that's you in this moment. Thank you, ma'am. God bless you. Thank you. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I'm going to ask Debs to pray for us. Let's stay in a moment of prayer as she leads us.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.